Our next guest is the former senior editor at NFL Publishing. He has become America's top author of sports books for young readers like all of my grandkids. His name is James Buckley Jr., and one of the kids' books that he has written is this tremendous book. It's called Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time. And here's the greatest kids author of all time, James Buckley Jr. Welcome to the show, James.
Well, thanks very much for having me. I appreciate being on. I'm not sure I would go quite as far as putting myself at the Ali level, but I've had a lot of fun making this book, and I'm very looking forward to talking to you guys about it.
How long did it take you to write the book? I got to tell you something, because I wrote one children's book on Muhammad Ali with Grosset Dunlop years ago. Sure. It took me 1 week of doing nothing else, but your book is so elaborate. How long did it take you? It's a terrific book.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, I've had the opportunity to write about the greatest, many times in the past. I've done other books on him. So I came to the project with a pretty good long-term knowledge of his lengthy and incredible career, both in and out of the ring. So really, it was a question of going back to the research, taking a few months to look at all the videos, read the contemporary accounts. It's so great to go back and read the newspaper accounts and the magazine accounts of what was happening to then, as opposed to a lengthy biography like Thomas Hauser did a fantastic long-form biography. So really, it was a few months of that, and then writing the script took me a month or so. The longest part of the work, which is by the artist Andy Duggan. The book is graphic nonfiction, so for people listening, it's a comic book basically. The nonfiction. Graphic novel is becoming an enormously big part of kids' books, probably one of the fastest growing areas. So we were super excited to tell Muhammad's great story using the comic book form. And so I wrote the script, all the words, the directions of what pictures go where, how many panels per page. So I would say overall, it was a 9 to 12 month project.
So going back a little bit further, you always were a boxing fan, a sports fan, and just figured it was time to bring Ali alive again, huh?
Absolutely. Well, I've been a sports fan my entire life, and I've been lucky enough to be able to write about sports for my entire career. I was at Sports Illustrated before I joined the NFL, and then about 20 years ago, I started a company that produces nothing but books for kids, and a lot of them are on sports. So I get to watch sports all day long and tell my wife that I'm working, which is really the best part about the whole thing. Boxing, I've obviously been fascinated, more, frankly, with sports history, almost more so than what's happening now. I have always loved looking back on the great athletes and personalities who brought the sports, all of the sports, forward throughout the past to our future that we enjoy now. I'm a big fan of baseball in the late 1800s, for instance. So to be able to write about Ali, who was such a transformative figure as a boxer, as a human being, as an activist, especially in today's climate, it was a terrific way to be able to use this new storytelling method to tell young people about how important and how great a guy he was.
He really was.
We're talking to James Buckley Jr., who in these books, this is part of your, I guess it's called Show Me History graphic books.
Right.
Tell us about this. Is this a separate division? How do you work this?
Well, we were approached 4 or 5 years ago, my partner Mark Shulman and I, to create a series of biographies of famous people in history using the graphic novel format, which, as I said, was really, over the last decade has been a hugely important. Now, 20 years ago, parents would not let their kids read comic books. Comic books were seen as sort of low rent stuff. But of course, I've been reading comic books since I was 5 years old, and, right. and I'm still writing, grown-up books too. So the form became popular as publishers and as creators. We look to that form and say, what other stories can we tell? And so we came up with the Show Me History format. So Ali is one of 19 books in the series. He's the only sports guy we did. So I'm hoping to do a few more as the years go on. But I've always, I got to write about Neil Armstrong and Martin Luther King Jr. and Sacagawea and Frida Kahlo. So it's really an interesting kind of a mix of people. But Ali fits really, really well into that because of his international world-spanning impact.
Now, in the book, and I read through this book, and I can't wait to get it into the hands of my seven-year-old grandson who's reading and everything like that, and he is such a sports nut. I want to see how he reacts with this. Mm-hmm. But I was loving it in your storytelling. It depicts a young Cassius Clay in Louisville, Kentucky, having that bike stolen. And you have a picture of like a, it's not actually a drawing of a bike. It's an outline of a bike. You can see that's where the bike was, but it was taken. And a very angry Cassius Clay telling police officer Martin that I want to beat the kid up. Mm-hmm. And he said, before you could go doing anything like that, son, come on in here and learn how to fight. Right. And it tells in ways that both Jerry and I know the actual story of Cassius Clay / Muhammad Ali. So, I mean, even if you didn't know this personally, you had to do a lot of research, not just on this, but on all your other books in the Show Me History books.
Right. Well, research is a big part of it. I think that the key for writing for young people is synthesizing out from an enormous pile of information the key facts that really impact the story, that really tell the story in tighter nuggets. And the bicycle story is a perfect example, as you mentioned. It really very quickly gives Ali, Cassius Clay, the motivation. So you, as a 9-year-old kid, a 10-year-old kid reading this book, if someone stole your bike, you'd be ticked. And so now you're in the mind of Ali and you're able to sort of empathize with him going through that. It's going to be a lot harder later in his career for us to understand what it's like to get punched in the head. I know Jerry knows that, but the rest of us don't. thank God.
You don't know yet, pal. You don't know yet.
That's true. Yeah, I got a few people. Maybe I'll make them mad. But fortunately, I haven't had to go through that. But I have had the experience of losing something. And so kids can empathize with that. So a lot of writing for kids is trying to come up with those little nuggets, those little stories, those little episodes that they can relate to in their own lives.
So you're thinking about that. Now you talk about Ali versus Frazier 1. How do you go in and explain that part of it?
Well, again, the biggest thing for kids is context. So, you know, as grownups, we've already brought the context in. You can say Ali Frazier was the greatest fight of the century because people sort of already have a built-in knowledge of it. For kids, we have to explain and make step by step. We have to let them understand, okay, first he was out of boxing, then he came back. He had a big comeback to do physically. We talk about the training he did for the fight. We set up how Frazier, we actually introduce him with a big kind of a, here's Joe Frazier, and let's introduce him and let's give his background. So then we merge those two things to tell the story. So it's a combination of visual storytelling. So we have some great boxing action in the book. Andy Duggan, the artist, did a great job.
Yes, he did.
Without being too graphic. I mean, these are kids. We can't do, you know, great teeth flying, blood flying stuff. We have to sort of keep in mind these are younger readers. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you got that sense of the power of the fighters, the intensity of the action, the sweat, the drama. And that a lot of that comes through the visual storytelling. And my job is to make sure that the facts are there and the step-by-step story is there so that everybody can follow it.
So, and his personality, I mean, he was just a magical guy. Once saw him walking down the airport, he had a glow about him. He would call my mother, he would take the time to step. I've seen him get out of his car on Fifth Avenue and make a big crowd and sit around and talk to the people. Were you able to capture that in the story at all?
Well, I hope so. I mean, that was one of the things I loved most about Ali is that he had that giant personality. He was really the first of the world-spanning athletic celebrities. And a lot of it was his own personal magnetism. As you said, when I was a kid, he lived not far from us in Los Angeles. I worked in an ice cream store and he just came in for ice cream one day because he lived nearby. And of course the whole place just stopped and I got to serve him a vanilla cone and he bought ice cream for everybody in the place and he just swirled right out. It was like a hurricane came in and came out. And he just had that effect on people.
Really did.
And I think that, I hope we were able to get that across in the story. We tell a lot of anecdotes about his life away from the from the ring, especially, for instance, when he went to Africa for the fight, the Foreman fight, how much of an impact he had on that country and what he learned by going to that country and then what he brought back to America to help with his activism. We talk about his interaction with his children throughout his life. We talk about his impact on other people There's a whole section of the book where we talk about, especially toward the end of his life, what other famous people said about him, whether it was the Dalai Lama or Barack Obama or all sorts of famous people whose life he impacted. So I think it's important especially for a sports story, to let young readers know that it's not just about a guy hitting another guy. It's that guy taking the impact of his punches and having them land worldwide. That was a pretty good one. I got to remember that one. That's a good line. Okay.
And you know, James, it's really unbelievable, but when he was assigned to fight George Foreman, I was praying for him. Please don't do it. Don't take the fight. Meanwhile, he had it all figured out before he went over there.
Sure. Well, yeah, I mean, you're obviously far more expert than we are to talk about his tactics, but I think he clearly knew what he was doing. And that's one of the things I think that sort of separates him from a lot of fighters, you know, over the vast span of the pugilistic history, is his intelligence in the ring, his tactical sense. He was powerful. He was super fast, but he was clearly not the most powerful puncher. He was clearly not the strongest, most mighty puncher, but he was able to combine essentially the sweet science with his whatever skills he was able to bring to it. I also think, and I think it was hard to talk about a little bit in this book, but I think in a greater sense, is that he was the first real master of getting into a guy's head. I mean, I don't know, as a fighter, was that the kind of thing you would pay attention to, Jerry? Or was that even, I mean, I know you didn't fight him, but that kind of attitude of getting in this guy's head before the match.
Well, you know, James, there was talks about he and I fighting, and for a short period of time, he got in the ring with me. He played around with me, did some things. It never happened. But, you know, listen, he was the kind of guy that mentally he broke you down before the fight started, except when he fought Joe Frazier that first time, because Joe Frazier took it so personal that left hook in the 15th round sat him down. But even through that, he was just such a great champion in all walks of life.
Right. Well, I think he really was. And I think this is the fun part about what we're able to show kids is like, okay, they're watching around in America today, in the world today, and everybody from the NBA and the NFL and all these superstar athletes are getting out and using their voices and their platform to try and affect change. Well, they're standing on the shoulders of Muhammad Ali. And I think it's important for kids today to understand that what's happening in America today and around the world is part of a continuum that Ali really kickstarted. I mean, it somewhat started before him, but he was really the first one to stand up on his platform of athletics with his, you know, world-spanning personality and say, things aren't right and we need to make them better. And that was a powerful voice then, it's a powerful voice now, and it's just a joy to be able to tell the story to our young readers.
So listen, so here we go, right? Muhammad Ali, it says the greatest. Who do you pick as being the greatest of all time? Not just in the fight game, like Michael Jordan in the basketball. Who would you say becomes the best, greatest athlete of all times?
Woo! Oh, there's a big question. Well, it's funny because the next book I'm writing, not in this series, but for another book, is about Jim Thorpe. Speaking of a guy who excelled at a high level at many different sports, geez, the greatest single athlete of all time. You'd have to have Ali in the conversation in terms of his impact on and off the field. One of the other books in our Show Me History series about Babe Ruth. So he certainly would get some votes in terms of not only athletic skill, multi-talented athletic skill, but impact on the game itself. And so baseball's different because Babe Ruth played. Boxing is different because Muhammad Ali came along. And it became, you know, it was big. And then he came along and just exponentially expanded the reach of the sport. So I'd certainly vote for him in the top two or three. Not sure who else. I'm liking LeBron as actually overtaking Jordan, but that's a whole different conversation.
One day, and who knows?
Hey, watch it there, bro. Watch it now.
Who knows?
I mean, come over there right now.
Zion Williams. You never know. Zion Williamson. And you know what? Here's a name, and he happened to be very good friends with Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown.
Sure. Jim Brown was he's actually in the book. We have a scene in the book because when Ali was getting grief basically from everybody, a group of prominent black athletes got together with him and basically said, yeah, we got your back. So Kareem was there, who was then Lew Alcindor. Jim Brown was there, a number of other NFL stars, some other boxers. So it became kind of the beginnings of that understanding amongst black athletes that they had a collective power and a collective ability to affect things.
Well, let's we're not talking to James
about, let's not forget about Jesus. I see you did a book on Jesus too.
Yeah, we got them all covered. Yeah, yeah. It's a wide-ranging series. Show Me History Jesus came out earlier last year.
Wow.
I hope I don't get in trouble for that one, but I think we tried to be fair about it. So
sure. I mean, the Show Me History, it's all nonfiction books, yeah. And they're geared towards children, right?
Well, they're geared towards everybody. I mean, I think they're written for a reading level so that a student probably starting in third or fourth grade would feel comfortable with the vocabulary. We tried to keep, as I said, we tried to explain things so that they understood the context of what's happening. But it's not to say anybody couldn't read these books. I hope there's a few jokes in there that the kids don't get that the parents do. There is as much humor as we can possibly squeeze into these books because we want them to be entertaining. There are two narrators who are actually fictional characters who carry us through the book, Libby and Sam, which is actually the Statue of Liberty and Uncle Sam. Mm-hmm. So they actually, as characters in the book, become sort of stand-ins for the audience to explain, to help link the stories together, to talk about things outside the story that the character, you know, it would be weird to have Muhammad Ali in the book come on and start talking about the history of the Vietnam War. So we have to have somebody explain quickly what that is so that there's some context.
James, we love the book. It's beautiful.
And I've stated the truth.
Randy and I both have read it twice already.
And wow. You know, the only thing I don't like about it, and it's obviously for the younger readers, is that the reading type, it's about 94 pages of fantastic storytelling, but the type is so small. It's not meant for older guys like me and my reading glasses.
Kids have good eyes. What can I tell you, kid?
Yes.
You know,
my grandkids do. They looked at it. Yeah. They had no problem getting through this. Okay.
We also, you know, it's a somewhat of a format. Again, we are building on an existing style of creating these. So we wanted it to look as much like the classic comics and graphic novels that are out there so that we're competing with in this market. But at the same time, we did take it, you know, into that account. So there's a lot of comic elements. There's, you know, like comic sound effects, and there's comic pow. The guy who did all the lettering in the book actually is one of the comic world's best letterers. He created the Black Panther logo, and he created the Angry Birds logo. So we really got some great people involved. And we hope that it has that sense of you're in a comic story, but that it's true. And that's the tricky part, is we want to make sure they understand that everything that happened in that book really, really happened.
Where can somebody get not just this book, but where can we find the entire Show Me History book? Because these are tremendous, and I think everybody should get a look at these things. And I don't even know if I'm going to give this to my grandkids or not. I might just keep it and have you sign it.
Yeah, I think you need to go buy a couple more and give it to them.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So no, the best way to find these is to go to your local bookstore if it's open and ask them for a copy. It's available wherever books are sold. I always encourage people to support local independent bookstores, which have struggled in the past year. So first of all, go there. If they're not able to help you, then it's obviously available on Amazon, all the online bookstores, BarnesandNoble.com. So all of the various online bookstores have it. There's a website. If you Google Show Me History Portable Press, there's a terrific website that has the covers of all the books, some excerpts, and some teacher's guides. So if teachers are listening, there's some information on how they can use the books in classrooms to help students understand history and biography and storytelling.
James, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
Just turned 58 last month.
Well, you did a great job. I love it. I can't wait to read the other books.
Oh, that's great. Well, I really appreciate that. It's very nice to hear, and it's been a pleasure telling everybody about it. And if we do another Boxer, if we do Show Me History, Joe Frazier, I'll make sure and come back.
Now you listen. I'm coming out there sometime. You're getting shape. You better start running now.
Oh, geez. All right. I'm going to, just so I can run away from you. That's mostly what I would do.
Listen,
James Buckley
Jr.
He's the author of Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time, in his Show Me History books. They are nonfiction books. He has written more children's books than I think anybody around, over what, close to 300, James?
Well, it's a couple hundred, but like I tell kids, most of them are really short, so it's not that impressive.
It's been my pleasure and Jerry's pleasure to have
Same
you. Thank you so much for all that you do.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It was a great pleasure. Honor to meet you, Jerry. Randy, thanks for having me on. Best of luck to you guys. I hope
Thank you,
podcast continues well and you get your shots and everybody feels better soon. And you we'll too. All be back in boxing rings cheering on the great athletes as soon as we can.
Oh, stay yeah. Safe. James Buckley Jr. here SiriusXM's At the Fights. Cooney and the Commish coming back at you.